Chris Gibson, when we were talking about your amazing career, and it has been amazing, and now you're off to Williams College for the next 3 years to be a very distinguished professor, you made it clear that you had made a commitment to stay in Congress, you term limited yourself, you then decided you were going to run for governor, or at least take a look at running for governor. You went all around the place talking to people, you decided you weren't. But then when you made your announcement that you were going to Williams, you said, and I thought this was very interesting, I'm out of politics. Is that right? You're out of politics forever and
well,
ever?
Well, I think that when you move to academia like this, I think it's really important that, you know, the integrity of the effort. You know, you have political scientists that write about American politics, and
yeah.
I certainly plan to write about American politics,
yeah.
But I need to take a step back from campaigns, you know, I think is part of that effort. So, you know, there's a difference between writing about what's going on in America
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and, you know, sort of injecting yourself into the partisan politics of a specific campaign. So, you know,
Well, you're going, Chris Gibson, to Williams College. And the most distinguished political scientist there was James McGregor Burns.
Yeah, great American. World War II hero, Silver Star.
A wonderful man. But guess what he did?
He ran for Congress.
He ran for Congress and got smeared.
Yeah, well,
and I loved him, but don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but you know, there's something about practicing and preaching. You know what I mean?
Well, look, he really was, you know, the genesis of the leadership department at Williams. And you know, when as a young guy, I read his books.
Sure.
You know, in ROTC, and
well, as they say in the Berkshires, and so didn't I.
So you know, I for the period of time that I'm at Williams, I'm just as I was mentioning at the end of last show, where I felt very passionate about the mistakes I thought we had made in the Middle East, I brought forward Securing the State, which was a book on national security decision making and civil military relations, so that hopefully we would learn.
But you said also, surprising me, that you didn't want any royalties, you didn't want any money from that book. How come?
I didn't want to profit from something that I felt very passionate about. And so, you know, that's...
Well, how do you live? How do you feed your kids? You got three kids.
Look, I mean, the taxpayers are very generous. The salary I've earned as a representative, I've deeply appreciated. As, you know, we've talked about in the past, I didn't think it was right that I get two paychecks. That's why we gave our pension back.
You gave your military pension back.
I gave my military pension back.
Now, can you get it back now that you're...
No, it's gone. I gave it back.
What are you talking about? It's gone. That's dumb.
Well, no. I don't think so. I think it was principled, but... you're not the only one who's called me dumb for doing it.
I don't think we were dumb for doing it in the first place, Chris Gibson.
Yeah.
What I think is that now that you're out of politics, it doesn't make much sense that if you've worked as hard as you have, you had three deployments, you're incredible, you're a colonel.
Well, for clarification, the $300,000 that I gave back to the taxpayers, that's gone. That's back to the taxpayers.
No, but what about right now?
Oh, now going forward, when I'm done, I'm going to begin to accept it.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
Okay.
But you know,
now
because the point is, I didn't want to double dip.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Now with regard to you know, going forward, what I want to do is publish as well. In addition to teaching, I want to write about what's going on. I mean, I see, you know, as I watch what's happened in this year, this 2016. We've talked about this before. How underwhelmed. I certainly feel very underwhelmed by this campaign and disappointed, to say the very least.
Who are you going to vote for?
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. I've said this. I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, and I haven't endorsed Donald Trump. In terms of, I still have options. I mean, as Americans, we have all kinds of options. You can vote for the candidate of a major party. You can write somebody in. You can vote for a minor party candidate.
Well, you're a Republican. If you don't vote for Trump, that is, of course, a vote for Hillary, if you think about it.
Well, you know, we'll see how this campaign goes because, you know, what happens with the Libertarian candidate, who knows on that. So I would tell you my options are open. I'm not going to vote for Hillary, as I said, but then beyond that, we'll have to wait and see how this campaign goes.
And why aren't you going to vote for Hillary?
Oh, no way. I mean, I look at, you know, the way that, well, for example, on my seat on the Armed Services Committee and having a chance to interview and to have testimony from those that were involved in the Benghazi situation. Look, the guy who was the four-star general that was in charge of the operation, General Hamm, General Carter Hamm, when he was a one-star, I was a lieutenant colonel, and I worked for him in Mosul under fire in some of the toughest times in that war. And, you know, the day that I was wounded, partly the way he helped my operation is, You know, my attack helicopters who were supporting our operation had ran out of ammunition, which is a pretty serious situation given the intensity of the gunfight we were in. And they had to break station to go reload. And as I'm communicating to higher headquarters, the general said, look, I can send you fast movers. That's the United States Air Force fighter aircraft. But of course I knew, we're in the middle of a city. They were never going to drop any ordnance. But just by flying at supersonic speed, it causes a sonic boom to occur that feels and sounds kinetic. And so when he said, look, I can send you these fast movers, I said, absolutely. Now, keep in mind, I'm the guy who called for this. So I'm back in the gunfight now. And about 7 minutes later, this F-15 flies just off the deck at about 400 or 500 feet.
Off the ground, you mean?
Just off the ground, about 400 or 500 feet. And again, I called for this to come. And when that sonic boom went off, I took a knee. And I had one hand on my hand mic directing the battle. And, you know, when that aircraft flew over top and the sonic boom went off, I immediately just took a knee. And I'm like, oh.
What do you mean took a knee? What does that mean?
Well, I was standing directing the fight behind. At that point, you know, I had my up-armored Humvee, and I'm looking at the enemy, and I'm directing, and we're in this gunfight. And then when that sonic boom went off, I took a knee. And then I realized, oh, wait, I called for that. I called for it. Well, here's my point.
I don't know. I'm sorry, Chris. I know you have a nomenclature that I don't understand, but you took a knee. Down and you were on your knee?
Well, I took it consciously. What it means is that it even psychologically impacted me, even though I was the one who called for the close air support.
Yes, indeed. I got that part.
And even though I knew that the close air support was not going to drop ordnance, when that sonic boom went off, I just subconsciously, if you will, went to a knee and still kept into the fight. What I'm suggesting to you is I'm trying to explain and set the context for what I'm about ready to tell you about Benghazi. And that's this, that when I had a chance to interview to ask General Hamm two things, I said to him, you know, the first thing is was there ever any doubt? Was there ever any doubt at all that this was a terrorist attack when it occurred? He said, no, sir. Never doubt. Never a doubt. So from the moment that attack occurred, he knew that it was a terrorist attack. Do you remember what it was like here?
And you're saying so did Hillary.
Well, I mean, he was a 4-star general. I can't attest to all this chain of command, but I'll tell you this much. When the 4-star general knew from the moment it happened, it was a terrorist attack. But yet here in the United States of America, for at least 36, if not 48 hours, we were under the impression that it was inspired by a video that had come out from the West Coast. The commander on the ground for these actions knew from the moment it happened it was a terrorist attack. So that's my first thing. Here's the second thing. It's related to my story. I'm in Iraq. As I said, look, you know, General, when we were under fire in Mosul, you sent me a fast mover. You sent me the United States Air Force aircraft that actually ended up significantly influencing the battle, even though it never dropped an ordnance. Why didn't you send aircraft to Benghazi? And he said, well, I just didn't think it would influence the situation. How disappointing that was. So, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons why. I mean,
okay, but really.
And also, that is part of the reason why I
will
really, not vote for
Hillary. But really, you're going to end up, if you prevail, with this opinion of never voting for Hillary because of some past action, of helping to elect Trump.
Well, again, I have said that I'm going to evaluate who I'm going to vote for. I'm still looking at that situation, and I'm going to wait and see how this campaign goes. Here's what I would tell you, Alan, and this is important. My vote is my integrity, and that's why I need to evaluate it, because people on both sides will try to influence you. You know, folks will say, well, if you don't vote for Donald Trump, then you're electing Hillary Clinton. I want to say again, I am not voting for Hillary Clinton. So when I vote, I'm actually providing support for somebody to assume the responsibilities of commander-in-chief, and that's why I take my vote so seriously.
It's great to talk to our friend, and he is my friend, Congressman Chris Gibson. I love the fact that you come around and you spend time with us and that you're willing to get down and dirty with us and tell us what you're thinking. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Alan, and best wishes to all the listeners out there.